For giving me the opportunity to talk at this wonderful conference. So today I'm going to show you a method of characterizing topological order starting from a 2D microscopic lattice Hamiltonian. This is the work done with Giffre. So the method consists of two steps, and basically every step is one part of the talk. So the first step is to take a 2D lattice Hamiltonian that corresponds to some topologically ordered system, put it on an infinite cylinder, and calculate a complete set of ground states of that Hamiltonian on infinite cylinder. One can argue that every ground state will have a well-defined anionic flux going through the infinite cylinder. Another way of thinking about that is for every anion type of emergent anion model, we'll have a ground state with that anion propagating inside an infinite cylinder. Let me give you a quick example on that. So suppose I was to study a toric code. So I put a toric code Hamiltonian here, and then I would see four ground states, right? One ground state for identity anion going inside or no anion, another ground state for E particle, another ground state for M particle, and finally, the last ground state would have a fermion with an epsilon particle going inside the infinite cylinder. Okay, so once I have the complete set of ground state on an infinite cylinder, I can now calculate a reduced density matrix for a half of the infinite cylinder and look at its entanglement spectrum. And the hope is here too that for every ground state, the entanglement entropy would reveal a given sector of the gapless edge theory. Okay, that's the first step. And the next step is to take the ground states on an infinite cylinder, cut a piece from that ground state, glue it back to form a torus, and then, as you would expect, the property of having a well-defined flux, a well-defined anionic flux inside the cylinder will survive that procedure. So we'll, at the end of the day, we'll arrive at the complete set of ground state now on torus. And then why is it important to have a well-defined flux inside the torus now? Well, these guys told us that once you have ground state written in this particular basis, it is very easy to obtain a topological SNU matrices for emergent anion models. So in other words, we have an access to self and mutual statistics of the emergent anion model. So just to remind you, having SNU, you can calculate all these quantities, and here is a good point to connect with the previous talk given by Leon Balint. So just by studying topological entanglement entropy, we would calculate the total quantum dimension of the emergent anion model. But now we have an access to SNU matrices, so you can extract all this information. So by following the example of a toric code, if I start from a toric code here, I follow the steps, I will arrive at these two matrices, the well-known SNU matrices, quantum double of Z2. So basically, that's the end of the story, right? I go to the tables, I look for an anion model with that SNU. But just let me tell you that there is a lot of information that you can extract here. So if you have an SNU, bless you, you go to first row and you read the quantum dimensions for all anion types. You look here, you read total quantum dimension, you apply Belinda formula, you recover Z2 cross Z2 fusion rules. Now you look at the U matrix, you see you can extract central charge and the twists, right? So you have, from that perspective, we have three bosons here and one fermion, because that gives you a self-statistic in a sense. What is the phase that is acquired when you take two anions of the same type and you exchange their positions? So bosons and okay. So this is a list of things that we have an access to.
So is the assignment of E, M, and epsilon arbitrary, or is
it? Yeah, you can relabel them to some extent. You can essentially take E and M, but probably it's more than that. Okay.
Can you put C left minus here?
What's that?
So this is the C left plus C left.
Minus. Okay. So it is possible that you've already seen a similar talk, and back then I was showing results for only one model, so probably you were thinking that, okay, this guy is lucky, so he just solved one model, and probably this is the only model that he can solve. Well, so today, I want to fight back, okay? I want to show you results for all these five models. And don't worry, you will have your lunch, okay? I can finish whatever Frank will tell me, okay? But actually, I want to talk about these two models, for obvious reasons. And if I have time, I may say something about results on Heisenberg Kagome, but it's just up to time, okay? So that at this point, it's not important what is the exact definition of all these models. Now we are rather interested that these models will give rise to some HCFT, and we'll see that most of them are chiral, but there is one non-chiral example given by the Wenz-Plaquette model. Another way of looking into this is to look at the emergent anion model. So we'll see that most of them are abelian, and there is one Kitaev on Honeycomb that's going to show us non-abelian statistic. And I hope that during that talk we'll see both of them. Okay, so let's start with Wenz-Plaquette model. So it's well-known toric code, but it's written in a more convenient way from our perspective. So here is your model. And the crucial thing is that we need to move away from a fixed point Hamiltonian. So in order to see the HCFT, we need to introduce a permutation. Another important thing is that this permutation must perturbation. What did I say? So this perturbation has to be translationally invariant in y direction, in x direction. I guess we could relax that a little bit. And of course, you want to stay in a phase, right? Okay, so let me study that model. So just to remind you, I put that Hamiltonian, the perturbed Wenz-Plaquette model on an infinite cylinder, and then I turn on my computer, and then I ask it, could you please calculate the complete set of ground state for that model? Okay, so my computer told me that there are four such ground states. Let me just label them 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll come with a proper label later on. So what can I do now? I can take every ground state, calculate a reduced density matrix of a half of an infinite cylinder, and calculate entanglement entropy, and look at the entanglement energies and also momenta, which are associated with eigenstate of the entanglement Hamiltonian. So let me do this.
So sorry, you didn't explain how you actually calculate. Is that using GLRG or?
Oh, you mean some technical details? How do I calculate?
So how do you get all? How do you get all? The ground states?
Look, we've just seen Glenn gave us an example of 21st century numerics. So if I'm about to, following that language, that would be rather 20th century numerics, if I.
But
okay, it's 2D DMRG, infinite case, but it's really just an all good MPS. Oh, you're asking how do I know that this is an incomplete set?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I will address that later on. So now let me say that that this is the answer that my computer gave me, and later on he can actually say that okay, that's the complete set. You will see that. I can calculate some quantity that will tell me this is the complete set, you are not missing something. And actually, I can show you an example where this condition is not met. So we failed with getting all the ground states. Okay, I can do this. And this is the answer. So remember, I have four ground states. And I'm looking at entanglement entropy for all of them. Here is the entanglement energy. It's not mine. Here is the momentum. And now our job is to look at these figures and identify what is the HCFT. Okay, so let me first look at the primary fields. So I guess that there are six primary fields here. It's pretty straightforward to guess that this is primary field, this is another primary field, this is essentially the same sectors. In these sectors there are two primaries, and in that there are also two primaries. Okay, this one and this one. Okay, where is the identity? So you look at the conformal towers and you look to which operator there is the descendant with a scaling dimension of 1 which is missing. So you look at the conformal towers, let me draw it for you, and you see that these operators are missing, right? Here. So this is identity. Okay, so let me now look at the scaling dimensions. So calculate that scaling dimensions of that primary is 1/8. Scaling dimension of that one is 1/8, and for this guy, 2 is 1/2, and for this one, it's 1. Okay, so we have six primary fields. We read the scaling dimensions, and now I have a question for you. So what is the theory? Oh, you should know. You are the experts, not me. Okay, it's sizing, no? So we have six primary fields, identity, energy density, scaling dimension 1, spin, scaling dimension 1/8, disorder, and 2 fermions, scaling dimensions 1/2. Okay, if you are still not convinced, let's go to the books. Okay, so we open up Henkel, and these are the scans from that book. Okay, so these are the conformal towers for identity and for energy density, and similar for fermions. Looks pretty much similar, right? This is not the perfect values, right? So this should be here, but you clearly see that the structure is there. Okay. Structure.
So wait, how did you get the energy from the scaling dimensions?
I can calculate.
You matrices.
So I have the infinite cylinder. So I can calculate the reduced density matrix of half of infinite cylinder. I can diagonalize that and look at the eigenvalues and momenta associated with eigenstates of that. Okay. So every state is I can check that it's translationally invariant in y direction. So this is not something that I impose. This is something that is emerging.
But this doesn't give me the energy. But why does this give the energy? It gives the momentum.
No. I have both. I have energies and momentum.
Yeah, but so it's
entanglement energy. It's entanglement energy.
But entanglement energy doesn't have a reference vector.
Okay.
Right.
It's up to shift and rescale. So I shift everything to have 0 here and to have 2 here.
But then how about the 1/8?
It's the same scale. I use the same scale. I use the same scale here and here.
Why do you always get twice as the IC? You set the 1/16, you get a 1/8.
Twice?
Yeah, your dimensions out. The number you
scaling,
get twice.
No, scaling dimensions.
Scaling dimension of IC is 1/16.
It's 1/16 plus 1/16. It's non-chiral.
It's
non-chiral.
But there should be 9 fields rather than 6.
No, 9?
Who's missing?
Who's missing then?
There's something missing, right?
But
what?
You don't have the sector where one side is sigma, the other side is
yeah, so, okay. So there's some fields that does not show. You know, if this is twice, if 2 calcifies, you get 9 fields. So you only
9
get 6,
fields.
So there are 3 missing.
The 3-1, you have to get it by fitting the boundary.
Yeah.
Just so I understand, your evidence is telling you we're cutting it like this way? Like
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is for that model, it is important how do you cut that. Because if you cut it in the wrong way, then all the CFTs. So it's not protected in a sense by default. It's not chiral. Okay. So we identified this. Okay. Just showing you another scan, just to convince you that these conformal towers are exactly as they should be for the Ising model. So let me summarize. So I started with an infinite cylinder. I got 4 ground states, and for every ground state, I calculate entanglement spectrum when we identify the primaries, so identity, energy density, spin disorder, and fermions. And now I can go back and figure out what was the anion propagating inside an infinite cylinder. So I look at the conformal dimensions. I can calculate conformal spin and calculate what is the twist. So for those 3, it's trivial. And for this one, it's -1, right? You take spin for psi and psi bar, it's +/-1.5. You plug it here, and you get -1 in both cases. So my guess is that I had identity here, I had E in the second ground state, M in the third one, and epsilon in the fourth one. Okay, so I remember a long time ago I was told that the Wenz-Plaquette model on torical is really the simplest case of the topological order. It's like an Ising model in the topological world. And I think only now I really appreciate that sentence. I really understand what you mean back there. That you take a toroid, you take an Ising model, and then smash. I understand. Thanks. Okay, you've seen a non-chiral example of the EH theory. Now let's see a chiral one. So I can do the same. I can play the same game with Haldane model on Honeycomb with hardcore boson. So I take that exact values of parameters from the paper. And then again, I go to my computer, I put that Hamiltonian on infinite cylinder, and I ask, okay, so how many ground states can you calculate? And he's saying that only two. Okay, so let me now calculate the reduced density matrix of a half of infinite cylinder, and again, play the same game, so entanglement Hamiltonian, energies, momenta, but now the cut is like that. Okay, see what happens. So the rules of the game are the same, but now the result is much, much different, right? So first of all, you clearly see that the theory is chiral, right? There are no two branches, there's just one branch. So all the towers are tilted in one direction. So now we look for the primaries, and then we want to answer a question, what is the DHCFT? So we can come here, for example, and look at the degeneracy in every tower you see. It's 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, and so on. So again, you go to the books and you convince yourself that it's SU2 level 1 Vesemino-Witten. So we have two primaries, its identity. It's the singlet of an emergent SU2 symmetry. Remember that the Hamiltonian was only U1 symmetry. There's no SU2 symmetry. It's emergent. And then another identity, which is chiral boson, the doublet of the emergent SU2. Again, I'm not lying, just open the yellow book, and then here are your towers, right? It's a perfect match. Okay? And this is what my computer says, okay? I did copy that. Okay. Okay, that concludes the first part of the talk.
A little bit less than half an hour.
Okay, cool.
No, it's 45 minutes.
No,
you have a short talk. Wow.
15 minutes. Then 15 minutes.
All right. Chair.
No, but we had very good intentions. Thank you. All right, so we move to the second part of the talk. So now I want to take every ground state that I got on an infinite cylinder, cut a piece from that, and then form a torus. And from that, as I told you, we'll be able to calculate the SNU matrices from the emergent anion model. So let's do that again for a Haldane model of hardcore bosons. So as you remember, we just had the two ground states. So what can I do with them? I can take one. It has a well-defined, remember, now we're on the torus. Okay. I can take one with well-defined flux in horizontal direction. I can rotate that according to Blatty symmetries. In that case, it's going to be 60-degree rotation. And then I would like to compare those two states. So first of all, see that they really belong to the same Hilbert space, right? So let's just check this. So I can take this part of the torus, move it to the right, and then arrive by periodicity to the same torus. So I can really compare them. Right, so what we know from the paper is that if I calculate that overlap, I will get some combination of topological U and S matrices. Yeah,
No question. So this lattice doesn't have to have special symmetry. You cannot do it on any lattice.
Probably not. Well, I need to have some symmetries. So it could be 60-degree rotation, 90-degree rotation, or other symmetries. OK, we can generalize that slightly, but this is the simplest setting, that the model is symmetric under rotation or some other transformation, rotation plus something. And then I can come up with that combination of U and S and maybe something else. Okay. So numerically,
for the model S matrix, you don't need a symmetry.
What's that?
No, the model S matrix, you don't need symmetry.
For the S matrix?
Yeah. To find the U, you need symmetry.
That's right.
Okay. And U is the same as T?
Yeah.
I know it's the same.
Okay, so just to summarize that part, I have an access to the matrix of the overlap. Okay, I have numbers for these. And then thanks to that equation, I can calculate U and S. They are up to phase, but I can figure out. That's not a big deal. Okay, so let's do this. This is the answer. I can calculate S and U. So it's written, so this is a numerical values, okay? But it's written in a special way that here I give you some S and U for an animal model that you can actually find in the table, and here is a deviation from that. Okay, so I got deviation of the third digit here and something similar here. So that value gives you an idea of the finite size effect that's still they are still present in my numerics. So there's but okay that this deviation is so small that there's no way you can mix that with some other animal model, right? It's this, nothing else. Okay, so we go to the tables. This is chiral semion, right? Another name is Z2-hub. So again, you come here, you read quantum dimensions, 1-1, no surprise, total quantum dimensions, square root of 2, Z2 fusion rules, they're in the formula, central charge 1 up to second digit, and then twists 1 for identity, it's obvious, and I for semion, right? So it's really half of the fermion. You have to exchange twice semions to get the fermionic minus 1. Okay. All right. So basically, I'm done. I hope that the message is delivered. But let me just tell you that my computer is not afraid of fermions anymore. Yeah, recently I had to teach him something. So now he knows how to deal with fermionic models. And again, thanks to Zeng Cheng, I have some nice models to deal with. So I will show you results at the same time for both of them. Okay, fermionic model A, fermionic model B, they differ by, yes, next nearest neighbor's repulsion and also filling factor. So this model will give rise to 1/3 Laughlin state. The other one will give rise to 1/5 Laughlin state. So okay, let's see that. So you know, I play the same game. I put Hamiltonian here, then here, and then back to here. And my computer told me that for the first case there are 3 ground states, and in the second case there are 5 ground states, and he has all of them. Oh, yeah, oh, okay. I will go back to your question in a second. Okay, so with that lattice symmetry, I can have 90 degree rotation, so I have an access to the S matrix. And again, this is the result. This is the numerics, okay? So this is, again, these are the matrices that that you can find in the tables, and here is the deviation. So it's around 2%, and it's around 4%, and again, there's no way you can pick up a different wrong model from your tables. So the first one is Z3 type 1. This one is Z5 type 2. So you have to be a little bit careful. There are many Z3s and many Z5s. But once you have an S matrix with that precision, there is no way you can screw up. Okay. So this is the animal model and nothing else. Okay. Okay, I won't torture you with extracting all these properties. But this is the answer of that question. How do I know that I have the entire list? So this has to be unitary matrix. So if I'm missing something, then the first row wouldn't have a norm of 1. But once I'm very close to norm of 1, say up to second digit, then I'm pretty sure that there's nothing else. Okay.
Can you tell that we have all that it's not logical and that it's also not unitary potentially? The fact that it's not unitary, does it necessarily mean that you're missing a ground state? Couldn't it mean that you're not topological, maybe? Yeah.
Let me just say that I need to look at the first row and look at the norm of the first row. If it's significantly smaller than 1, which I've seen, unfortunately, then then I'm missing states. But not here. It's 1 up to second digit.
I'm not sure about that.
I answered a different question.
My question was the Hamiltonian could simply not be topological. That I could get all ground states, but
yes, but then no, but then matrix, but then this matrix would be just a permutation matrix, so we won't see this.
That's right. Okay.
In that particular case, I could recognize that this is just a permutation matrix, and clearly this is not permutation. Okay. All right, I told you that I will show you some, you know, a brilliant example. So that's going to be Kitaev honeycomb. All the couplings are. The same, I open up a gap with magnetic field, very small magnetic field. Okay, and I play the same game. Now I see 3 ground states. And this is the S matrix. Again, I'm giving you some S matrix that you can find in the tables plus 5% of deviation. Okay, I could do better, but my computer finally got tired. So anyways, this is the S matrix. So clearly it's not a billion, right? So sigma's quantum dimension square root of 2, total condition 2, it's Ising, right? Ising Anion model. Yeah, the U matrix, something went wrong here. So I guess the twist of sigma should be either pi half or 3 pi, pi 8 or 3 pi 8.
I think it's a 1 pi over 8.
No, one pi over?
It's not as RT, it's getting as U to the over 2.
But this is a kinetic model, so you should get
Ising. Oh.
So I should get pi over
pi. I will show tomorrow.
Okay, so I did something wrong. I have to talk to my computer.
S has to be unity also, no? Or no?
Not in that case.
Because the second row is certainly not normalized.
Which one?
The second row of S.
Oh.
It's also very far from.
Oh, it's not a billion. I'm not sure if this is.
I think it's a typo.
Does it have to be like that?
It's a typo.
Yeah. It's square root of 2.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
What?
The square root of 2 to the left and put something.
Oh,
the computer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Square root of 2, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, well, that's to be said here. Okay, do I have some time for Heisenberg? Really?
Yes.
Do I really have to say about that? No, I'm sorry, it's kind of embarrassing. It didn't work out, actually. This is the last model. Actually, the entire tool was designed to attack that problem. So what is the emerging Anion model, but it failed. So I lost 3 months of many, many hours course were burned. And all I got is just 2 ground states. So my computer keeps saying that, I'm sorry, but I just see 2 ground states. Probably there are more, right? It's not a complete list. Thing. But still, what I can do is to calculate a part of topological S and U matrix to see what happens. Okay? And this is the result. And unfortunately, it doesn't make any sense. So what is this minus doing here? I don't know. So even so, you look at the differences here. So it probably it should be the same, but it's of the order 3. This is less. But you can say, OK, fine, size effects. But at least the signs should be correct. But they are not.
So which
2 ground states
do you
see?
Which 2?
How?
Well,
I don't want to. No. This
probably normalized to some kind of diamond bond, I guess.
Probably, I don't know, one of them identity, the other one bison inside. This is what you think. And this is the part of U matrix that I can calculate. All right.
So there's nothing you can really do with only 2 of the states?
I don't see that. Whenever, how hard I try, whenever all the tricks I apply, I don't see 2 rounds.
But if you have 2, you can. Yeah. There's only one possibility for the last number, please. If it has to be unity, if there would be 3 kind of.
Yeah, we can play all this game, right? No, I'm sorry. This is all I can do. Maybe I need to change method. I don't know. Okay. So this brings me to the conclusion. So I won't torture you by saying what can be calculated, just. I will ask you, give me a Hamiltonian, and then I will extract all of these. All right? Thanks.
So you did, for the last thing, you did Pagome, or you did this Pagome with extra, like, J2?
No, that was so pure.
No.
Yeah, I tried, but actually, I didn't see this much better.
It doesn't work in that J2.
Still 2 ground states?
And we can't see 4. There's other DMRG techniques. We can't see. We think that the other states are up above the gap.
I see.
And so they're essentially inaccessible.
States.
Yeah. So
how big is the cylinder?
So there's issues with the geometry, but it seems to be more a fundamental issue of once you're above the, if the states are above the gap because of finite size effects, then they're not distinguishable at all.
Do you want to say that?
But
yeah.
Okay. So probably the first ground state that I'm getting is exactly the same that you got. So I tried to compare the energies. I compared all this, the same geometries. I look at the correlation length, and it's all the same. But another ground state is so harder to achieve. Actually, when I look at the correlation length, it's like twice of that. Well, it shouldn't. Okay. So it's hard. The second Grassi was much harder. There's many tricks involved. Finally, we got it. We know for sure that this is a ground state, another ground state, but we are missing two more.
So there's essentially two issues. Two of them are probably inaccessible, and one of them has these weird long core rotation lengths.
That could be. Yeah.
And we see one of those, that weird one too.
Mm. So the wave of the cylinder would have to be crazy. So it's beyond what I can do.
Are they both minimally entangled? Did you check?
Yeah, by construction they have well-defined anion flux, which means that this is minimally entangled space. We know that by construction. I can tell you that. Yeah, let's talk about later. We know that.
Question.
Might
be the same thing
that
the other one has, but what if you are in one of these situations where you're in some, you know,
no, it's infinite cylinder, and I can see that for sure that the from a D-Emergy perspective, the infinite one, you can have that situation. You would see that you flow to one of them. You can be very, very unlucky to have a superposition, but then you see that you're kind of losing your bond dimension. So we would calculate. This is very technical, but for example, for a toric code, I could fail and have two of them, but I can see straight away that, okay, this is not the proper one. I should get rid of this. So no, I'm not in that superposition.
There is this technical thing, the transfer matrix of the infinite MTS.
Eigenvalues.
The eigenvalues, the largest eigenvalue would be degenerate if you have a superposition of two pluses.
So you check that.
So that's very easy to check.
It's not the construction, but you check that afterwards and then you know that.
Yeah.
I guess I have a question more about sort of benchmarking the method a little bit. In the very first part, you talked about the Wen model or toric code,
okay,
and you applied this field. I mean, the number, at least I'm not sure of normalization, but the magnitude of the field you applied to my mind looked very, very small. At least in the toric code model that we look at,
okay,
you need about a 0.3 to reach the critical point to the other phase. And yours was about 0.02 or something like that.
I tried a few.
So is it, how far do you know, kind of using this method, how far you can push, how long a correlation length do you have?
I tried a few, but I'm deep in the phase. But
right, you're very close to the,
but, well,
the
that's
soluble
not,
point.
So why would I go?
Well, it's a question of whether, you know, the two things you tried to do. One is proof of principle. Yes, you can, without bias, recover all the information for some point in the phase. The second is more a question of utility.
But that's why
how well does it work?
That's why
how
I show five models, right? I show five models and stereo.
Yeah, but they're probably all models with very short correlation.
Yeah, sure. This is the model that I can do.
The point of getting very close to the fixed point for your code is that you want to see the boundary spectrum. So the point was not to get to the phase condition, but to see a very nice boundary spectrum, to see the critical ISI model showing up at the boundary.
But I mean, in principle, everything you see should be universal property of the phase, right? So the question is, if I want to eventually apply it,
this is a chiral, non-chiral theory. So the spectrum is not what.
It's protected by the translation.
Right. You have to protect it with the translation symmetry, and then you want to be in the case where the correlation length is small enough that you can still see it.
I think maybe the last example is what you expect to happen if the correlation length is not small enough.
Yeah.
It's small enough so you get a good story. But okay, if not small enough, you make only better.
For larger, I need 21st century.
No, Kagame, we don't entirely understand anyway. Yeah. It'd be better to see how it breaks down an example that you do entirely understand.
How many sides you think on the
Yes.
Okay. I guess we've done a shame. We actually done something very similar, but now with toric boundary conditions and exact eigenvalues. Again, the matrices come out as predicted to about 0.01 compared to the theoretical
stuff. Modular matrix. From ED, right?
From ED, yeah.
Okay.
Like 18 and
60 meters cells, like
30.
For which model?
Hardcore,
the
honeycomb and checkerboard hardcore.
The low filling factor, this is what helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
okay, 1/2.
Okay, the last question.
So in the first part about the CFI code model, so
okay.
I don't quite understand how you get this fractional momentum of 1/8. So naively, if you derive it at the spectrum of the, so are you looking at the speed state?
So you take a state, you calculate reduced density matrix for half of infinite state. Then you see that it's translationally invariant in y direction. Also.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you can associate momenta to every eigenstate of reduced density matrix. You can calculate it.
But if I think of this as a limit of finite cylinder, I always get
no,
a
no,
bigger
no,
momentum. So
don't think. you get what?
I always get a momentum quantized in your time 2 pi over L.
No,
so
it
you
is.
Get a threshold.
So this, it is 2 pi over Ly, where Ly is times an integer.
What you get is the 2 pi over Ly times
yeah.
an integer?
Yes.
The energy with
but you got the 1 over
8.
Minus pi over 4, minus pi over 2. Momentum is here. Are you asking about momentum?
Oh, sorry. Okay, so actually, the momentum doesn't show any fractionalization. Okay, the momentum is still quantized into 2 pi over L.
Show the form.
Yeah. I think the general case of that, you have a different learning.
So you get no. I just want to see
previous one.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure where is this.
Yeah, that was the general one. That's a, so half. That's a fractionalized. That's not your question.
Yeah,
but,
I mean,
yeah. This degenerate one seems it's a kind of not.
But then it's also in the energy. It's fractionalized in energy, but not in momentum.
I got lost. Is there a question for me?
I thought you got to fractionalize the momentum, but actually you get you label this 1/8 and 1/2. It's in energy. Yeah. So
I think even in the 1/8 and the momentum, the difference is still 1/4 or pi/4. If you look at compare lower and upper graph, the difference of a 2 point horizontally always pi/4.
Yeah, it's the same. The
yeah.
difference here is the same.
You just shift the
it's
origin.
Just shifted such that here is zero. But
yeah.
for the difference, so I shifted everything.
Yeah, but when you use energy, that means that there is a overall, so we have an overall factor that cannot be determined. So you determine energy.
So I determine that factor
determine
in 1,
that
to
be 1
and
yeah.
then apply it to everything. Yes. Aren't you hungry?
That's a good sign for that.